Our scripture reading today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 6th chapter, beginning with the first verse. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Years ago, a young lady had just gone through adult instruction classes to join the congregation I was serving, and she had come out of a church body that had taught her that her way of salvation was at least partly dependent on how good she could be and how well she could live her life, and she always felt like she never measured up and wasn't good enough. And now to come to understand the beautiful teaching of the gospel was so refreshing to her, that in Christ all of her sins were forgiven and she was righteous before God and had the sure promise of going to heaven. And she came up to me one Sunday after church and she said, you know that part every Sunday in your sermon when you talk about what Jesus did and all the great things he's done for us and what that means for us? She said, oh, I just love that. I just look forward to hearing that every Sunday. The gospel is a very comforting thing, isn't it? The gospel is something that our hearts just grab onto and just love and cherish. To think that someone as wicked as we are, with lives as full of sin as ours have been, could have this gracious, holy God, but who comes and through Christ has atoned for all of our guilt and sins, taken away the punishment, lifted it off of us, put it on him, and now declares us to be perfect in his sight, and by faith in him, we get the hope of heaven in front of us, this future glory that we get to have with certainty, absolute certainty. What an amazing, beautiful, wonderful doctrine that God gives to us in Scripture. You know that we've been focusing on this wonderful treasure during this entire week. On Wednesday, we heard that beautiful reading from Romans chapter 3, earlier in this very book Paul is writing in today here in our text, when he says that we have been justified freely by his grace. Didn't cost us anything. Justified, declared right with God, freely by his grace. There's that American hymn that asks the question, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Well, I wasn't. I don't know if you were, but I wasn't. I'm not quite that old. But in my baptism, I can say yes. I was there when they crucified my Lord. As Paul says in our text, you were united with Christ in baptism. He took our sins into the grave and buried them there, making the payment for them. Baptism, your baptism, derives its power from the sacrificial death of Christ and his great atoning work. Now, Paul has just, in the previous five chapters in Romans, laid out this beautiful explanation of the gospel and explaining how wonderful it is what Christ has done for us. But now he comes to a point to address a very dangerous temptation that comes up in the heart of every Christian. And he expresses it this way, in the form of a question. He says, shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? Should we keep on going back and living in our sins so that grace can be bigger and bigger? And he answers with a strong Greek emphatic megenoita, absolutely not. No way. But how tempting it is for us in our sinful human nature to look at God's grace and to take advantage of it, to abuse it. Martin Luther said it's kind of like people that have suddenly had someone show them this amazing medicine that can cure them of an illness, and they go, this is great, let's go back and get more sick and harm ourselves even more so we can make the medicine work even more. Imagine a mother tucking in her 10-year-old son at night and saying to him as she puts him to bed that night, I love you, I will always love you, nothing you could ever do will ever cause me to stop loving you. And an hour later, the son decides to get out of bed and light the house on fire to see if her love could handle it. The devil tempts all of us to take this beautiful doctrine of grace, full forgiveness for Jesus' sake, the hope of heaven already done for us. The devil tempts us to take that beautiful gospel and to spit on it and to take advantage of God's marvelous forgiveness. And it comes in thoughts like this. You know, someday I plan to get serious about my relationship to Christ and to really start to lead a more godly life. But for right now, I'm having too much fun raising a little bit of hell. And when we're in our youth, the magnetism of that temptation is even stronger. A great Lutheran theologian by the name of Johann Gerhard wrote this: "Nothing is more fatal to godliness than procrastination. Don't put off living a godly life until old age, but offer God the bloom of your youth." That's awesome. Offer God the bloom of your youth. Stories are told about the Vikings up in Scandinavia when Christianity came to them roughly 1,000 years ago or so. That when Christianity hit their shores and many of them began being converted to the faith, that many of them went out to be baptized in the water, and that some of them went down into the water to sink completely under the water, but they took their swords and held them up out of the water as if to say, "Yeah, I'll be baptized and join this Christianity thing, but you're not taking away this. You're not taking away my pillaging." So the question I need to ask myself is, what sword am I holding out of the water in my life right now? We have been blessed with God's wonderful grace. And because of that, Paul says we shouldn't want to go back and live in the very sin that we've been saved from. Christ has come to set us free from sin, not to give you a get-out-of-jail-free card to go and sin. He has come to pay for our sin and to free us from that. Now, sin is certainly still alive in us. That's why Paul has to address this to the believers in Rome. If sin wasn't still alive in this would be a non-issue. But the fact that sin is still so alive in the hearts of believers is why Paul has to bring this up. Because this is a temptation for all of us to abuse God's grace and go back to lives of sin. But in the heart of the believer in Christ, sin has lost its power and dominion. That doesn't mean it's dead and it's not there anymore, but it's still alive in us, in our old Adam. But it means it does not have dominion over us anymore. Yeah, sin is at times going to raise its head and take over things and start to show itself in our lives. But the new man, the heart of faith in Christ, also then rises up in the heart of the believer and says, "I shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. I need to repent of this. I need to go back to what God wants and what God says." And in that way, sin never gains dominion. And so today, don't wait. Today is the day to pull your sword under the water. The heart of faith, through repentance, goes back to baptism. And the Christian life is nothing but a life of repentance and faith in Christ. It's a constant cycle of going back and again being cleansed every time. And whenever that activity happens inside of our hearts, that we realize the things we're doing that are wrong, that we've justified in our minds and kind of told ourselves it's no big deal, and we start to realize, you know, that's just not right for me to do. That's not what my Savior would want me to do. The one who died to free me from sin, the one who came to give me heaven, this isn't what he'd want me to be doing right now. When that activity takes place in our hearts and that repentance is worked there, you are going back to the water of your baptism. It's just like being baptized all over again. We pray with the great hymn writer Thomas Kingo, "With one accord, O God, we pray, grant us thy Holy Spirit. Look thou on our infirmity through Jesus' blood and merit. Grant us to grow in grace each day by holy baptism, that we may eternal life inherit. Amen. Let us rise. Today we offer special prayers on behalf of Benjamin Floor, the brother of Mary Floor Ramirez of our student body, and also Zach Lean, one of our security guards. Both of these young men will soon be deployed to Iraq. And let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that your mighty hand would rest upon these servants of our country as they carry out their duties in such a dangerous land. According to your will, cause your holy angels to guard and protect them from all evil. We are grateful for all who place their lives in the front lines of protecting us from bodily harm and who defend the freedoms we enjoy. The greatest of these freedoms is that of worshiping you. Continue to strengthen us through word and sacrament that we remain with Christ throughout our lives and finally receive the inheritance of your saints in Christ. We ask it all in his saving name. Amen.